cupboard. She went to the cupboard to get a poor dog a bone. When she got there, the cupboard was bare and the poor little.
If you don't know whose voice that is, you probably shouldn't be listening to this radio show. Hi, welcome to After Hours with me, Rick Hogan. That is Ella Fitzgerald. And one of the purposes of this show, when I first decided to have my old dear friend David Marienthal, my less old dear friend Daryl Nitz in here, was to help promote this January 29th show at the City Winery, Ella Fitzgerald at Mr. Kelly's, so we could help sell tickets. The show sold out. You guys happy about that?
Surprise, surprise.
Are you David, are you surprised?
Well, we knew there was a pent-up demand by our following on Facebook and our social media. People are just really very interested in this era of Chicago great entertainment history.
You are the son and nephew of the legendary Marienthal brothers who ran Mr. Kelly's, the Happy Medium, and the London House. And you came back here about, I don't know, 2 years ago, two and a half, 3 years ago, determined to bring that era and those places back to life, didn't you?
It has been a continuing evolution. The more I, you know, I knew that, you know, my father and uncle had founded great cultural institutions in Chicago, because 50 years ago on Sunday night, I was going down to the London House all dressed up to see Oscar Peterson, to see Errol Garner, to see George Shearing. And so I, you know, I lived it as a kid.
Yeah, and then you became a teenager and said, oh, I don't want to go here. I want to go to the Kinetic Playground and see, like, The Who play Tommy.
Exactly.
But, so what was there a sort of catalyst, because you are now deeply, deeply involved in bringing Kelly's back to life, not only at the City Winery event, but in a possible TV series, in a possible book, in a documentary, and that is why also in studio is Phil Koch, the extraordinary documentary maker who you heard a few weeks ago on the show talking about his TV show about Amy Brent. Phil, how are you?
Good to be here, Rick.
You're always here. This is like a home away from home. And also in here is a youngster, Adam Karsten of Loyola University, who is the sort of official archivist for the Kelly's extravaganza. You can see what's going on at MrKelly'sChicago.com. But did you, I know you were interested in doing it, David, and you wanted to talk to some people, but you, this is now your life's work, isn't it?
Well, it's been a continuing passion, as I say, and the more I get into it, the more I discover. I mean, every day we find something new. Who knew that Steve Martin was there as a second act, opening up for Oliver?
Who has sort of faded into history
so,
now. You
know, yeah, we just found this out 2 weeks ago after much research.
It would also seem like a very logical thing, but difficult to do, to create a live stage performance that captures Mr. Kelly's and the Ella Fitzgerald era there. So you and Daryl Nitz, the Saul Hurock impresario of our time in town, how did you two get together? Daryl, how did you and David get together? And,
I think there was some really smart man that said the two of you should meet. I think his name was Rick Hogan.
Oh, late, must have been late at night, or I must have been drinking. Oh, so I'm the seed of a sold-out show.
You know, I guess I did the show. We did the Sellers show back in August, and you had me on for that.
Sure.
And that's when you mentioned that I should meet with David. And David actually called me like the day after the interview, and he got it on his website, and the show sold out like by the end of that day or something.
Did that surprise you? You have done a lot of kind of themed shows, especially at the Skokie Theater, which is a great venue.
It is a great venue, but you know, when you talk about trying to bring in that idea of a nightclub, a supper club, there's very few supper clubs anymore. And I was fortunate to perform at the Big House, where, you know, Audrey Morris, Buddy Charles, Frank Derone, I got to, you know, be a part of that whole group of people. And, you know, that throwback, the Big House kind of had that. And the City Winery is one of the only supper clubs that's a concert venue.
Yeah.
So we felt blessed to be able to get into a venue that's serving food and has that ambiance. It doesn't have... It's an intimate venue. You know, it was very long. It's different
right.
than a supper club.
It is.
But it is one of the only supper clubs in the city anymore.
Let me ask you two guys, before I start talking to Phil about the documentary and about Adam. Adam is such an interesting kid. He knows... you're an old soul, Adam. Let me just put it that way. You're an old soul.
With a new coat of paint.
That's right. Well, it doesn't look that new. How receptive was, when you put these shows on before, as I said, at the Skokie Theater, how receptive was City Winery to this notion, and how did you pitch it?
Well, actually, one of the cast members, Jeannie Tanner, she's the one that said, Jeannie Tanner and Lynn Jordan were both in the original and have done shows at City Winery, and they both were like, you should take it there. And we had tried, but not as aggressively, to take the Billie Holiday Centennial show there a few years back after Howard Reich wrote a very nice review.
And
we thought maybe we could get it into City Winery. It didn't happen. Mm. So Lynn said, let's try this again. Jeannie said, I'll do one better. I'll email and introduce you to Libby, who books the talent there. And Libby, responded very positively. And it took maybe about a month to get a date. But unfortunately, the ironic thing is that Jeannie Tanner can't be in the
can't
show.
Be in her, she's got another
gig. So we
gig,
had Sophie Grimm to replace her. But we're hoping that we can use, Jeannie in something in the future that we might do.
David,
they were very receptive.
Was this always your kind of intention? I remember us talking about recreating in some venue.
Well, my intention really was to make this a multi-platform project.
Right,
and
right.
As you say, right. I mean, this material is just so rich, with Kelly's really being the birthplace to so many stars, from Barbara Streisand to Dick Gregory to Richard Pryor.
Well, talk to me about one of the great things about Streisand is her first album cover was shot while she was performing, not while she was on stage.
That was the People cover, which
where'd they shoot that?
They shot that at Oak Street Beach.
Know,
they were performing
great?
At Kelly's, and they had to hang out afterwards. And it was shot by my cousin's husband, late husband, Don Bronstein, who became a personal photographer, and they waited all night
for the sun to rise. Yeah,
but another great story about Streisand was there, and she was a prima donna even before she was a prima donna.
Mm-hmm.
And she was performing at Kelly's, and apparently for the first show there wasn't enough seats sold, and so she was refusing to go on because there wasn't going to be enough audience.
I never knew that.
So my father had to go on the street and give free tickets
to the
bums and hookers who were walking up Rush Street at the time. To see Barbara Streisand.
That's great. What a great story. There are, Daryl, what did you know about Mr. Kelly's London House? I mean, you know the era pretty well.
I've never been to any of the clubs.
Yeah, I know.
To me, with this particular show, a lot of people were doing Ella Centennial type shows.
Sure.
And so I'm like, okay, so I need to do something different. So I did a little bit of research and saw that, this show, in the liner notes, they mention Audrey Morris and Buddy Charles, and I'm like, well, I love those two, what I mean? And I just felt, drawn to it. And I start looking at it to put it together, and I'm like, okay, how big will my cast be, and how will I lay this out, And to me, it seems almost like you guys were doing your thing, and I was doing your thing, and then you kind of connected some dots you guys need to work together because you can accomplish more, as more of a team.
It really does mesh. I'm in here for this entire hour with David Marienthal, Daryl Nitz, Adam Karsten, and Phil Koch. We're going to sell tickets to Ella Fitzgerald Live at Mr. Kelly as a benefit Monday, January 29th at City Winery, but it's sold out, so we're just going to talk about Mr. Kelly's, and we're going to talk about Adam's fascination with that era, and Phil Koch's just beginning to work on what I think could be a spectacular documentary and or television series. Don't you wish you could have seen Ella Fitzgerald at a place like Mr. Kelly's instead of a huge arena? I'm in here with David Marienthal, who is the brains and creative energy behind MrKellysChicago.com. It was owned by his dad and his uncle, Mr. Kelly's, and the London House and the Happy Medium, three of the most famous nightclubs in this city and, in their way, very influential places, too. Daryl Nitz, who is the entertainment entrepreneur and showman, who is putting together, working with David to put on a now sold-out show Monday, January 29th at City Winery, Ella Fitzgerald and Mr. Keller's recalling with a lot of great local talent of that era and that time. She played there twice. Phil Koch is also in here, an esteemed documentary maker. You may have seen his latest work about Amy Brent and the search for books on WTTW about a week ago. Phil, how did you get involved with these characters?
David and I have mutual friends in Chicago. I mean, Chicago's a small world. And actually, Laurie Glenn introduced us and said, "You guys got to get together." And we did, and I just got so excited about it because the Marienthals are iconic cultural treasures of Chicago, and it's very important to tell their story, absolutely important. And the chance for me to be able to tell that story with David is priceless. So I'm very excited.
The great thing is, as important culturally and socially as these brothers were, it's also a great thing to have that kind of story peppered by the greatest talent of the era. And that makes it, you know, there are a lot of important people who did important stuff, but they didn't do it in the company of Barbara Streisand and Mort Saul and Lenny Bruce and every other, and Ella Fitzgerald and every. That's a huge bonus for you, isn't it?
It's not only that, but it's the fact that the Marienthals discovered some of these people. I mean, literally discovered them. And they had their first gigs at Kelly's, at London House. That is an amazing story. What is it about their incredible eye and ear that got them to pick these people over and over again that became huge megastars, starting at Mr. Kelly's?
Yeah.
So that's part of the story we're going to tell. We're going to discover that.
See, this has so much the feeling as a kind of almost, not some half-hour documentary on TTW, but a kind of American experience. You know what I mean? That estimable PBS series. It really is started, even for me, has started to have the feel of that because many of these people are still alive. Adam Carson, you are relatively young, certainly younger than those of us in the studio. How did you get involved with I know you're a passionate historian.
I mean, it was honestly like kismet. I mean, it was, you know, just graduated grad school and was looking for some kind of job that would reflect my degree I earned at Loyola. And my roommate said, "Oh, I did this oral history project for my class. You should look into it. You know, it's a club, Mr. Something, Mr. Kelly's." And, you know, Richard Pryor played there and all these people. I'm like, "Oh, I like Richard Pryor. I like, you know." And then so I did like just a blanket email to David Marienthal, and he got back to me like within the week, and we had a great phone conversation. I think like right away we're both like, "Oh yeah, we should work together." Like it was like, you know.
And so you did not know a great deal about Mr. Kelly's. I mean, you knew of the entertainers mentioned through the door.
I knew the entertainers, and I knew the, you know, cultural context of this world. But, you know, and I think that's one reason this needs to be explored more, because let's face it, Mr. Kelly should be up there with the Hungry Eye, the Bitter End, the Purple Onion, all these kind of great feeder clubs that fueled mid-century culture and entertainment. Like, it should be as important. I just think maybe it got lost because it wasn't on the coast. But this was the same kind of chain of clubs that made American culture, you know, turn.
Well, it's a funny thing because these three clubs that the Marienthals ran, as well as, you know, when Hefner died not long ago, it you had to bang people on the head to remind them of the influence that the Playboy Club circuit had.
Huge.
In entertainment. I mean, it was with, you know, Dick Gregory was arguably the first black entertainer in a mainstream American club. But your uncle and dad were no slouches in the breaking down the racial barriers, were they, David?
No, George and Oscar, you know, were very accepting of all.
Yeah, I know,
of all races, and you know, being young Jewish brothers,
sure,
considering, you know, the anti-Semitism that went on at that point in time as well. Obviously, there was a symbiotic relationship between the African-American and the Jewish community. But we have articles from the 50s, from the Tribune and Defender that says, you know, downtown nightclubs now welcome the sepia trade.
Yeah, and, wow. Wow.
Mr. Kelly's and London House were at the top of that.
And I mean, it's hard to realize. Gender, I mean, too. Phil and I have talked about this, about a restaurant called Ricardo's, which used to be at the corner of Rush and Hubbard, which opened a bit earlier than Kelly's. So it was renowned for being like the only downtown restaurant that would welcome African-American people in. It seems, you know, hey, man, we're not living in Mississippi. It's kind of shameful about our own hometown that it took so long. So, Phil, for it, you, it I mean, that amazing. whole the breaking down the racial barriers is also an important part of that Kelly
hugely
story.
Important, because we're talking about the birth of the civil rights movement. At the same time, we're talking about the birth of so many of these stars. And you mentioned Dick Gregory, but there's so many others. Ramsey Lewis
got
to start at the London House well before anyone else had a chance to get a showcase. So it's just it's so powerful. It's so important that we tell that story as well.
When it's the great thing about it, this story of these clubs in this era is so multi-layered, and that's something that makes it just fascinating. I gotta believe, Daryl Nitz and David Marienthal, that it was not a huge leap for the Marienthal brothers to say, yes, Miss Fitzgerald, we'd love to have you sing here.
Well, that's what's so wonderful about the story. In spite of all these cultural and social currents that were on a larger scale, Oscar Marienthal welcomed Ella Fitzgerald personally to his home. He entertained her at his home in the suburbs in Flossmoor. He gave her a piece of jewelry that she continued to wear throughout her life. And she did the recording in 58, but she came back. And this was already, she was a megastar.
Yeah.
And these entertainers would come back because of the special relationship they had with George and Oscar. And I had the Smothers Brothers answered my call literally 40 years later. When I said David Marienthal, they picked up the phone.
Daryl, how does that make you feel as a very talented singer and an entertainer? It must be, I don't want to say it's heartwarming, but it must be incredibly meaningful for you to start hearing, and you're getting deeper and deeper. You're tied to David Marienthal, I think, forever, and to Phil Koch in many ways, and Adam Karsten. You know, it's not the club scene you grew up in. You know what I mean?
No, you know, it's interesting. So I thought, well, I should start trying to do some research, you know, on these guys as well. And
sure.
Because I was producing this show, but more because of the Chicago connection and because of those liner notes that drew me to it.
Right, right.
But what you see is, like, everybody has positive things to say about these two owners of a nightclub, and I've been singing in Chicago for about 28 years,
mm-hmm.
and I can tell you that there's a lot of club owners that are shady and shifty. I mean, not Davenport's where I work.
I know,
but I'm just
saying,
know. You know, there's,
but they've come
and
go.
You're not treated very well, or you're not respected, and it's like you hear nothing negative about these two men. And in this recording, I don't know why it got released so late. You know, she talks about these two brothers so affectionately in the recording. It's to me, it's very unique. This is a great piece of history, this concert.
No question. David, in a couple minutes, and we'll take a break and then continue on with the exploration of Mr. Kelly's and a benefit concert Monday, January 29th at City Winery that is, very sorry, folks, sold out. But there will be more. Any father and son and nephew and uncle have sometimes tortured relationships. Not always, but sometimes. Did you gain any kind of new appreciation and affection for your father and your uncle? I'm sure you loved them, but something like this would punctuate those feelings, would it not? Learning more about them, not as uncle and father, but as businessmen and friend to entertainers.
Well, as you said, I would do any follow my father's coattails until I got to be about 12 years old, and then, like many sons, I rebelled and went my own way as a child of the 60s. But now revisiting that again, you know, it is the relationship, and we have over 60 interviews from the celebrities to staff, and some of the staff has been unbelievable, talking to people that worked for him for 20 years, talking to a young man that came to him out of Michigan State that was a vet who had to do his reserve duty as Michigan State. My father allowed him to do his reserve duty and then come back and then inspired him to go on to a lifetime in food service by his honesty and excellence, and devotion to excellence.
You know, just getting you a deeper appreciation for these men is a rare thing. You don't often encounter that. We're going to take a little break for news and come back and talk more about the many people David has interviewed already for this, and you too. Adam, you're totally on top of this too. Adam Karsten, the archivist of the MrKellyChicago.com website. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn, or I guess you could say play Ella live at Mr. Kelly's on TuneIn. I don't know how these machines work. That's Ella Fitzgerald, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Rick Kogan. I'm sitting here with David Marienthal, Daryl Nitz, Adam Karsten, and Phil Koch. A team is what I'm going to call them, David, that you have kind of put together to do a variety of things, not just in honor of your dad and uncle who owned Mr. Kelly's The Happy Medium and the London House, but to bring back in all manner of ways, including a upcoming musical presentation, the 29th at City Winery, in a documentary that Phil Koch has just started working. Have you just started working on it, Phil?
We literally have just started working, so it's...
You must be terribly excited, because David, I know, David and you, Adam, have been around the country interviewing a variety of people who played Kelly's, from youngsters such as Judy Roberts, to people a little older, such as Tom Dreesen, to some of the real legendary stars who are up there now, like Dick Cavett.
Well, we just got back from, again, talking to Dick Cavett, and he was just so generous. Such a star career, and he just picked up the phone and said, anything, about Mr. Kelly's and Oscar, I'm happy to do the interview. And really pointed out what a breakthrough it was in his career to have that venue, to have that acceptance, to have that really that trying ground to hone his craft.
Yeah, because they don't technically owe you anything. I mean, they've had big careers, but the fact that their affection for Kelly's and London House as a kind of launching pit, as the big break of their lives. Phil, you were going to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Dick Cavett talked about how he got introduced to the Marienthals through his pal, Woody Allen, who got his first break at Mr. Kelly's.
Right.
And he came back many times, and so did Dick. Dick talks about staying at the Playboy Mansion, which is walking distance from Kelly's.
Yeah.
So there's just great, great stories here, and I believe that this is not just a local Chicago phenomenon, but this is a national, important documentary that needs to be told.
I could not agree with you more. Adam, what do you, when you are hearing and participating in some of these interviews, you must on some level think, oh, Christ, I missed a great time.
Well, I mean, you know, I grew up with the privilege of having really, you know, grandparents and parents that were great at, you know, showing me this older stuff and having cable and everything. So, like, I grew up, like, I loved watching Dick Cavett interviews on reruns on cable. So, like, you know, interviewing guys like this and hearing the story, I'm like, oh my, I shook the hand that shook Katharine Hepburn's hand. Yeah. And I shook the hand that shook Robert Mitchum's hand. And, you know what I mean? Like, I would just die to, you know, go back there. And, you know, the more stories, you know, you hear about the clubs and, like, you know, how much more laid back and cool and, just non-corporate it was, like, you know, it was run by people. It wasn't, you know, run by this committee. It was like this, you know, really homegrown, wonderful place to see entertainment.
And also the economics of it worked, you know, until, you know, Daryl, it sometimes amazes me that Davenport's continues on.
That's because they own the building.
Yeah. You know? And that, so, well,
that's,
I know,
the way to
but
do it,
it. It is. I mean, you are old enough to remember an era when they were other clubs that dotted this place.
Well, and that is part of this huge story that, you know, Kelly's and London House were not alone. I mean, the Rush Street scene was phenomenal with jazz joints, with coffee shops, with strip joints. I mean, this was the Vegas of the Midwest before Vegas. And I think that, you know, again, it is a national story, but it's so important for Chicago at this point as we're growing, as we're reinventing our city, literally, to remember this era when Chicago was a cultural center, you know, every bit as strong as New York and L.A.
You can get a real insight more than you may be, or an embellishment to the insight you're getting on this show, by visiting MrKelly'sChicago.com, which is a fabulous and evocative website.
And we'd like to remind our listeners that, you know, although the show is sold out, you do have the possibility of winning two free tickets by going to MrKelly'sChicago.com and going scrolling down until you find the information part. And
what do you have to do to get the tickets?
You just have to respond with your information and say, and put in the word tickets, and you'll be entered to a raffle for two free tickets in the VIP
to the sold out Monday, if you January 29th.
Get that done by Friday. On Friday, we're going to be doing the auctions. So,
that's fantastic.
Or the raffle.
Are you both, I know I sort of hinted at this question at the beginning, are you both, you, David Marienthal and Daryl Nitz, are you surprised on any level that it sold out as quickly as it did?
Oh, yeah. I was telling David, so I mean, I've been producing shows.
Because you've been doing,
2004 was my first show, Judy Garland, Judy at Carnegie, it was called. It's at the Lakeshore Theater. And we ran that for like 3 nights, and, you know, it took an article in the paper to sell this, you know, the third and the fourth night out. This show, when it got, one city winery put it up. They put it up to just their, like, special people to get seats Monday through like Wednesday, and Thursday it goes on sale. And I create a Facebook event. I was telling David, I would see people sharing this, people that I don't know, but because Mr. Kelly's Chicago is tagged, or, you know, people that know him, and it starts getting shared all over the place. And then within a week, I think there was like 100 tickets sold, and in maybe 2 weeks after that was 200, and then it's almost every day about 10 tickets would sell, and then it was just kind of these last single tickets, and it was sold out.
One of the interesting things, and I want to ask all four of you this, starting with you, David. When I did a long piece about you, I don't even remember when it was, it may have been about a year ago, about this, about you coming back home and doing all this work to bring back, it was April last year, that you were really surprised and I think very gratified that so many people hitting up the website were in the ages of, like, you know, 18 to 35. How do you explain that, David?
Well, I think our social media has really, you know, we knew that social media is the new media, and our Facebook page is really a very fun, interesting, engaged place that Adam has curated, and we have these hidden gems that we find about Kelly's and London House, but we also have videos of entertainers during the time, And that's at Mr. Kelly's Chicago on Facebook.
Yeah.
And you have to remember to spell out Mr., M-I-S-T-E-R, because that on both the website and the Facebook page. But we also have an Instagram account at Mr. Kelly's Chicago and Twitter at Mr. Kelly's.
See, I think that has been, that's been one of the reasons,
and,
I think.
You know, we have literally a local but a national audience and international. I mean, obviously, Chicago's jazz and entertainment history is known around the world.
A lot of Japanese fans, surprisingly.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I see them. Yeah, they're out there.
That is interesting.
Well, Judy Roberts goes to Japan and, you know, spends...
Oh, yeah, Judy Roberts is huge. Yeah. She's huge.
Yeah,
she's beyond Chicago and Arizona. Judy Roberts, dearest friends and a great, great grand talent. We got to take a little break, and I'm going to carry on with these four fellows, the Mr. Kelly's team. That's what I'm calling you guys. I just have a few more minutes, 12 minutes with these fascinating, talented guys. David Marienthal, who is the brains and passion behind MrKellysChicago.com, trying to bring back and re-energize the magic that was Mr. Kelly's, the Happy Medium in the London House. His protege, the eminent historian, Adam Karsten, who works on the website and does a Facebook page. Daryl Nitz, the entertainment entrepreneur who is helping to put on a show that sold out. The initial purpose of this program for them was to sell tickets to Ella Fitzgerald Live at Mr. Kelly's, a benefit show Monday, January 29th at City Winery. Daryl does many of his shows at the Great Skokie Theater, and he is a not only a talented singer, but a terrific producer, like the Saul Hurock of his time. David, why is this a benefit?
Well, we are really trying to go full speed ahead with our documentary film at this point and produce
being it. Made by Phil Koch, who's sitting
made
here.
By Phil Koch, and we have gotten to the point where I've been working on this, and we've been working on this project, amassing over 60 interviews, thousands of photos, articles, ephemera, and now we're teed up and ready to go. And as I say, we do have a lot of material, but obviously the cost of producing,
and you've been footing the
editing,
bill for all that too.
And I've been, you know, going forward with this out of a passion project, but now in order to produce the documentary film, we need to raise substantial money, as everybody knows, to make a film. And documentary films are not for-profit enterprises.
No, they aren't. Well, unless you're Michael Moore or something.
Right, and we're not quite at that level. Yeah. But yeah. Ask is for trying to really get out and, you know, have the funds to do our initial interviews with Barbara Streisand, with Woody Allen, Bette Midler, Lily Tomlin, and these are costly items, and so we're going to be asking our audience to contribute and keep this project rolling.
We're going to show some of the film, a little bit of the film, at the concert when we start off.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so we're going to show. We did that, actually, because of the last time that I was on here. We did manage to show a little bit of the sizzle reel when we did it in Skokie. But
and is there some of it on the website, too? Do you have any?
No, we have just completed the sizzle roll, and that is part of this grand opening benefit that we will be able to show our
Did you make this
trailer?
Film?
Actually, David worked with a very good editor, Scott Dumler, who put it all together. And moving forward, we'll be working together on that.
Now, how excited are you guys? Darren, you won't be allowed to go, I don't think, because you're too busy with your regular job here. You teach and you do all sorts of other stuff. But you three characters may indeed get to go sit down with Woody Allen and Bette Midler and Barbara Streisand and Lily Tomlin and anybody else who comes up. How exciting is that for you, Adam? I'm going to ask you first.
I want to talk to all these people because, Bette Midler was a kind of a goddess to my mom growing up, so I'm well acquainted with, like, all these people. Loved Woody Allen. The new one that I'm adding to my get list that we have to talk to is just the brilliant Elaine May. because she played there with Mike Nichols, you know, as Nichols and May. Yeah. And so if we can get to, you know, a luminary like her on top of these others, like, I don't even know where to start. Like,
yeah, you
know,
she's just a hard get. You don't see her quoted.
We can dream, you know.
It's a good dream.
Yeah.
It's a good dream. And also, you know, Mort Saul is still alive.
Oh, absolutely.
And cooking in San Francisco. And
I also want to say that it's as fun as it has been to meet Dick Cavett and the Smothers Brothers. We sat down just a couple months ago with two waitresses from London House that were working there as single moms because that was the best job they could get, back then. One was there for a period of years, the other one was there for many years. And just had great stories, great fondness for the Marienthal brothers and the institution, and just really brought it back to life. And for me, you know, meeting these people, as working with great people like this, has really been the great joy.
That, again, is something that puts you in intimate touch with your father and your uncle. Daryl, I have the feeling that just given the I just look at the people you have performing, and I know this January 29th show is going to be a smash. You must be thinking about future shows. I think this Nitz Marienthal marriage is one that's going to
We're hoping to do something in May that's for the Sarah Vaughan Live at Mr. Kelly's,
one
and
of the most
also
famous albums
she did
ever
after
recorded.
Hours at London House. And put them together because Mr. Kelly's got released with a few extra tracks, but not that many. And then the London House, the After Hours at London House is a pretty short concert. And I think you could put those two together for one night. And then we've talked about, you know, September is often with theaters and it's kind of a gala time to have an opening or an opening of a season to do like a night at Mr. Kelly's where you would have some people who actually played at Mr. Kelly's. I know these two gentlemen already interviewed. One of my favorites is Marilyn Michaels.
Sure.
And she was the best.
I can only imagine. If I got to, you talk about Elaine May, I got to meet Marilyn Michaels because I would watch her show and her impressions and learn from, you know, how she would do her impressions. She was just such a cool lady.
She still is.
And Lainey Kazan, right?
Right.
And, I mean, I don't know. So, I mean,
The well-known, good friend Tom Dreesen.
Yeah.
So do a show where you have those people, but then get some local talent like, you know, Frida Lee or Jeannie Tanner or you know, some Lynn Jordan, you know, some of that. And then maybe we were even talking about trying to find like a high school student or somebody like you were saying, how there's an appeal with the youth.
No question.
And to also have somebody who's like, give somebody a start like they did in the Mr. Kelly shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if we go to the high school performing arts or somewhere, you know, that's maybe like do a shows in January, May, and September is a realistic type of thing to do.
It's a grand idea. I also think of the astonishing success. It's a very good show of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Have any of you seen that?
Yes.
That show, it is of an era. It's set in New York, and it features, you know, a Lenny Bruce character, but it's about a female comic. I think it's a great television show, and it is extraordinarily popular. Back to what we started talking about at the beginning of this show, is there is so something there that taps into, I don't know whether it's a wistfulness, and hearing Adam talk, it's like, whoa, there aren't places like this now. I want to revisit these places.
Well, that is the other part of the other leg of our multi-platform project, and I do have a script. We do have a script for a TV show that we have been looked at by different Hollywood producers, and
I'll bet it'll be looked at again with this
right,
Mrs. So, Maisel success.
I think we should mention though the idea of like, you know, femininity and like gender, and they were very forward thinking, the Marienthals.
They put
a lot of women in charge and very powerful, not only on the stage but behind the scenes.
Yeah,
you know, they had bookers and managers and everybody that were women in a time where that just wasn't common. Mm-hmm. So there's that story's there.
Well, I think this Marvelous Mrs. Maisel will You know, nobody said any TV producers are really smart, but they'll take a look and say, whoa, look, this is, no. Didn't we just read something about set at the same time? Let's get this guy Marienthal in.
Well, here. And it is the whole era of Rush Street. As yeah. We keep finding so many things. George Marienthal testified on the House Committee on Organized Crime and, sure. and Labor in 1958 mm-hmm. with Bobby Kennedy. And so, you know, the connection is there. And, you know, we have had a lot of interest in this
it's
script.
It's a rich, rich, rich story. I wish you people can go to, is it the Facebook page to get these tickets? Or where should they go? Mr. Kelly's?
Mr. Kelly's, Chicago.com, spelled out.
No apostrophe.
And just send us your info on the contact, and you will be entered into a raffle to win two premier seats by... And we'll be doing the raffle on Friday.
And so. there is a waiting list. I mean, City Winery told us there's a waiting list.
Get on the waiting
people,
list.
Yeah, and there are people. There's always, you know.
Oh, yes, sure.
Yeah, so doing that too.
Well, knowing the quality of the shows Daryl Nitz has produced over the years, it is going to be a great show. So you should get on the waiting list. You really should. You should get on the waiting list on the off chance.
Well, and make sure and watch for our show in May.
And, get on this. And get on, go to MrKelly'sChicago.com, too. And if you're, you know, some guy who runs a foundation and thinks it would be great to do a series or a movie about Mr. Kelly's, just send him a check. David Marienthal.
We'll take that.
Yeah, I bet you will. David Marienthal, Daryl Nitz, Phil Koch, and Adam Carson, it's been a real pleasure to have you in here. And
Thank you so much, Rick.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I just think you are the
fan.
Mr. Kelly's. You are the Mr. Kelly's team, and it is an ongoing pleasure to know you and hear about your... adventures. I can't wait for the series. I can't wait for the American Masters show. I can't wait for Daryl Nitz and David to be doing a show a month at the City Winery.